My message this morning is entitled "The Spiritual Practice of Generosity." And I'd like to start off by sharing with you a real life story as told by the person that it happened to. Now, this is actually a pretty famous person, and I'm going to wait until afterwards to tell you who it is. But I'm mentioning that he's famous as a way of saying that the story, well, it has a pretty interesting conclusion for a person who's so well off. He begins by saying, "A couple of years ago, I found out what 'you can't take it with you' means. I found out while I was lying in a ditch on the side of a country road covered with mud and blood and with the tibia of my right leg poking out of the side of my jeans like a branch off of a tree taken down by a thunderstorm. I had a MasterCard in my wallet, but when you're lying in a ditch with broken glass in your hair, no one accepts MasterCard. We come in naked and broke. We may be dressed when we go out, but we're just as broke. Warren Buffett, going to go out broke. Bill Gates, going out broke. Tom Hanks, going out broke. Steve King, broke. Not a crying dime. All the money you earn," he says, "all the stocks you buy, all the mutual funds you trade, all of this is mostly smoke and mirrors. It's still going to be a quarter past getting late whether you're telling time on a Timex or Rolex. So, I want you to consider making your life one long gift to others. And why not? All you have is on loan anyway. All that lasts is what you pass on." He goes on to say, "Now imagine a nice little backyard surrounded by a board fence. Dad, a pleasant, plump fellow, is tending the barbecue. Mom and the kids are sitting at the picnic table, fried chicken, coleslaw, potato salad, a chocolate cake for dessert. And standing around the fence, looking in, are emaciated men and women, starving children. They're silent. They only watch. That family picnic is us. That backyard is America. And those hungry people on the other side of the fence, watching us sit down and eat, include far too much of the rest of the world. Asia, the subcontinent, countries in Central Europe where people live on the edge from one harvest to the next. South America, where they're burning down rainforests, and this will date the piece. And most of all, Africa, where AIDS is pandemic and starvation is a fact of life. It's not a pretty picture, but we have the power to help, the power to change. And why should we refuse? Because we're going to take it with us? Please. Giving isn't about the receiver or the gift, but the giver. It's for the giver. All life of giving, not just money, but time and spirit repays. It helps us remember that we may be going out broke, but right now we're doing okay. Right now we have the power to do great good for others and for ourselves. He concludes saying, "So I ask you to begin giving and to continue as you begin. I think you'll find out in the end that you got far more than you ever had and did more good than you ever dreamed." Now, you might be surprised to hear that those are the words from none other than legend of horror novels himself, Stephen King. Now, no one can accuse King of being a particularly spiritual person in terms of point of view, but he makes an impassioned and perceptive argument for being generous. He understands that giving connects us with something larger than ourselves. There's an important life theme that King hints at in his article. And put simply, it's this: we have come to think of giving, of generosity, We've come to think of it as sacrifice. And it is not. Generosity is not sacrifice, but rather it is a sowing. Let me repeat that. Generosity is not a sacrifice, but rather it is a sowing. It's a direct response to the gift of life, to the full connectedness of creation, to the centrality of love and equality and a healthy spiritual life. Generosity is a way of responding to all of that. And it's much less of an action than it is a life perspective, a way of being. Theologian and popular novelist Henry Nouwen put it this way. I think that generosity has many levels. We have to think generously, speak generously, and act generously. Thinking well of others and speaking well of others is the basis for generous giving. It means that we relate to others as part of our gen or kin and treat them like family. Generosity cannot come from guilt or pity. It has to come from hearts that are fearless and free and are willing to share abundantly all that is given to us. One of my all-time favorite books is The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. It begins with these simple words. Once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy. Now, the story goes on to tell about the many ways that the giving tree gave to the little boy whom she loved, even as he grows into an old man. And from the branches from which to swing, to the shade in which to sit, apples to eat and to sell, even branches to build a home with, the giving tree joyfully provided for the little boy that she loved. And as a matter of fact, the only time that the tree seems anything less than cheerful is when it feels that it has nothing left to give the boy. Now, you might be interested or possibly surprised, it depends, to find out that within the literary world, there is a great debate on whether The Giving Tree is a good book for children. See, ever since the book was published, it's generated controversy over the intended message, on whether the tree is selfless or merely self-sacrificing, and whether the boy is selfish or reasonable in his demands of the tree. Some say that it teaches children to be generous to the point of being taken advantage of. Now, I have to say, in the argument of whether the tree is being taken advantage of, I side with Bart Simpson. Let me explain that. If you've ever watched an episode of The Simpsons, one of the running gags in the opening sequence is this. See, Bart is staying after school and he's having to write lines on the chalkboard. And every episode, those lines that he's writing is something new. Well, one of his chalkboard lines was, "The giving tree is not a chump." Well, thinking about Stephen King's words as well, I'm with Bart on this one. The giving tree was not a chump. I like the way that Ben Jackson, a professor of religious study at Stanford University, put it in regards to what's going on with the giving tree. He says this, "Is this a sad tale? Well, it's sad in the same way that life is depressing. We are all needy, and if we are lucky and any good, we grow up using others and getting used. Tears fall in our lives like leaves from a tree. Our finitude is not something to be regretted or despised. However, it is what makes giving and receiving possible." Or as novelist Stephen King said, "A life of giving, not just money, but of time and spirit, repays. It helps us remember that we may be going out broke, but right now we're doing okay. Right now, we have the power to do good for others and for ourselves, so I ask you to begin giving. Generosity is not a sacrifice. It is a sowing. I'll conclude with some words from Anglican Archbishop, Nobel Peace Prize laureate Desmond Tutu, who says, like humility, generosity comes from seeing that everything we have, everything we accomplish, comes from God's grace and God's love for us. In the African understanding of Ubuntu, our humility and generosity also come from realizing that we could not be alive, nor could we accomplish anything without the support, love, and generosity of all the people who have helped us become the people that we are today. Certainly, it is from experiencing this generosity of God and the generosity of those in our lives that we learn gratitude and learn to be generous to others. Are there any people who have thoughts that they want to share about the talk or the theme from today? Unusually quiet group. That's okay. It's a cold morning. There we go.
Good morning. I'm Annie. The giving tree always makes me cry. I've always seen it as giving and giving, and you have nothing left, and then the tree is sad. And then I don't think the boy comes back.
At the very end, I don't think
you know, you don't know, but it just seems, you know, you've used all of it up, and then you don't come back. So I guess we have to be grateful, but it always makes me cry.
Are there any others who have thoughts they'd like to share?
On a sort of negative note, I'd like to understand more about when charity becomes just enabling certain types of behavior.
Yeah.
There's a fine line in there, it seems to me.
There is.
You know, it's.
Yeah. And it
I don't
takes
really know how to.
Well, unfortunately,
distinguish.
Yeah, unfortunately, at least in my opinion, it either takes risking enabling somebody anyway, just because they seem like they need help, or it means risking getting in a relationship with them and finding out whether you're enabling them or not. We can project all we want that maybe what I'm doing is enabling negative behavior, but until we, and it really is a one-on-one situation to figure out whether or not you're enabling. Until you're in a real relationship, there's no way of knowing. So if you want to be generous, if you feel like it's a situation where you might be enabling someone by being generous, I think that those are your two options. You either kind of let those fears go a little bit and be generous anyway, or you say, I'm going to take the time to actually be in a relationship here and learn whether or not what it is that would be helpful. Because there's always something that would be helpful. It might not be cash. It might be job skills. It might be all kinds of things.
Who knows what it is. But that, to me, it breaks down to those two things. Yeah. Are there others? If not, Gracia, I'll turn it back over to you.